You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you here in Berea. The Browns practicing today. Barkevious Mingo is back at practice today. Good news. Justin Gilbert is back at practice today. Kaywan Williams is back at practice today. Again, no pads today. It's a light session. Good to have those guys back. For people wondering, no Nate Orchard, not back at practice yet. Neither are the guys going through the concussion protocol. Duke Johnson, Pierre Desir, Charles Gaines with a hamstring, and Johnny Manziel is not throwing today. I am told, however, Terrell Pryor is practicing today.
All right. That's good news. And based on it, I don't know the extent of Barkevious Mingo's injury, but the fact that he's, and I don't know what he's doing today at practice either, but if he's out there, is a good sign, and he's well ahead of schedule on recovery from a meniscus surgery.
He is, so that's good news for him to be available week one against the Jets. So the Browns should be relatively at full strength, getting Kaywan back and getting Gilbert back, good as well for this defense, because it gives you your starters with Kaywan, Hayden, Tremont, all healthy, Gilbert back, and hopefully Desir Gaines can get back for week one as well. 216-578-0850. We'll get a couple calls in, then we'll hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, from his press conference yesterday. Let's go to Tom in California now. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are
you? Man.
All right. So I got to watch the game very early Sunday morning. So I had to watch the local Tampa broadcaster, Grande Barber, for Chris Fowler. So it's a little interesting. So I think my take on the game is, you know, good to get on the road in the dress rehearsal, take care of business on both sides of the ball. You know, I think I'd echo your comments earlier about the deep ball, and specifically Dwayne Bowe seemed a little out of time with Josh McCown.
Josh McCown threw 6 incompletions against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 3 of them were going to Dwayne Bowe. Now, one of them was tipped at the line of scrimmage, but yes, they were a little bit off in their timing. The depth, it seemed like, was off. The angle seemed a little bit off. So that's something that now, with this week of practice and another week, hopefully they can get back on the same page.
They definitely do, because, you know, just as Dustin and Fox and I kind of talked about during the pregame show on the PNC Bank Radio Network, I made focus that with Duke back and with Dwayne Bowe back, they were most likely on that pitcher play count like Mike Pettine always alludes to. So the fact that I thought Flip was going to not force the football, but build some routes to develop that rapport. And we saw that, you know, Duke Johnson got out into some routes in some unique situations. Dwayne Bowe was targeted a couple times. Just, again, as you said, tip ball, kind of a low and behind throw to him on another. Thought it was catchable. But it's something where Dwayne Bowe, a lot like, you know, all these guys that have missed a significant portion of time, is going to have to play back into his, you know, his game time legs. That's something that is huge when you miss time, something Barkevious Mingo will have to do as well. But it is something they will master as long as he can stay healthy throughout the next 10 days prior to the opener.
It is something that they hope he can master, and I think he will. He's a pro. They'll get on the same page. They're going to get more practice reps in this week. Duke Johnson, that was the biggest downside to me. That game, and the 3 injuries, really. Duke Johnson, when are we going to get him back? We don't know. Pierre Desir suffered a concussion as well, so he's in the league's protocol. And then Charles Gaines, who had the first interception of the season for the Browns, 2 passes broken up, played with the ones, looked very comfortable out there, very much like a guy who could contribute for this team, certainly in the short term and most likely in the long term. And he goes down with a hamstring injury. Those injuries, those were tough.
Yeah, it was. And how about Charles Gaines? Is Charles Gaines making this football team on the active 53?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think so. I think Charles Gaines makes this football team. I think they carry 7 corners when it's all said and done, when you talk about Johnson Badamosi being a corner.
So that would put us at 7 corners and how many safeties?
4
safeties?
4.
Okay, 11 DBs.
Yeah.
All right.
11 DBs. So your corners would be Hayden, Tremont, Kaywan, Pierre, Gilbert, Gaines, Badamosi.
Right.
And then your safeties would be, obviously, Whitner, Gipp, Poyer, and Campbell.
Correct. Okay.
So I think you get 11 on the back end.
All right. It's all becoming a numbers game here very shortly. That's why I'm constantly evaluating that.
It is, especially with and Johnny not throwing again today. I know that this team certainly, at least I believe, wants to go into the season with 2 quarterbacks. They do not want to have to cut a good football player to carry a 3rd quarterback into the season.
No. And I agree with it. And that's why, you don't know what the situation is with Johnny Manziel, and that's why the approach going into this third game is going to be, how much Pat Devlin are we going to see? Is it going to be Thad Lewis starting the game and playing the first half and Devlin in the second? Because if so, he's got to grasp this offense very quickly, or we're not going to see anything of what this Cleveland Browns. It's going to be hard for a player to showcase their ability in that third preseason game, you know, a la, you know, Isaiah Crowell last year.
Sure.
With Devlin, you know, learning 15-20% of this playbook.
I think it's going to be a lot of Thad, and I hope it is a lot of Thad.
Me
because
too.
It gives, he is the most competent guy to play and help the guys around him get a fair evaluation. And I think if Thad's not going to be here, I'm a big fan of his, I hope he gets an opportunity to really put a good bit of tape out there for the rest of the league to see. Joining Mingo Gilbert and Kaywan are Robert Nelson practicing for the first time, Jordan Poyer's back from his concussion, and Ishmaili Kitchen is back at practice as well. So good news on the injury front there for the Browns, getting healthy as the real season begins to approach. 216-578-0850 right now. Let's go to Steve in Oregon. Steve, welcome to the show.
How are you guys doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. I just want to say that the game was fun to watch, so you know that was a nice change. That was refreshing. But the elephant in the room to me seems to be the O-line and their pass protection. And Nathan, you talked about the lack of the deep ball. It seemed like McCown spent a lot of time, you know, sort of running for his life when the pocket was collapsing on him. And, you know, when he did make the good throws, they were, you know, quick, you know, little timing, 3, 4, 5, 6 yard passes. But he never really had time to stand in and watch a deep ball develop. And, you know, I don't even know if they even called those kinds of plays, but it just seemed like the pocket was collapsing on him quite a bit, and he was running for his life. So I don't know if these guys gelling, you know, didn't have the time together in camp or what. I'm going to hang up, let you guys talk.
Sure. So, Steve, the good news is going into this game, McCown had been pressured more than any quarterback, starting quarterback in the NFL, 55% of his dropbacks. In this particular game, he was only under pressure on 10 of his 27 dropbacks. So significantly better percentage going forward. That's 3 out of every 9. As we know, that is, or just over 3 out of every 9. So just probably about 35% of his dropbacks.
But
so that's a much better ratio than they had been doing prior to
it
that.
It is, but you have to take the scheme that we played in this football game into account as well. You know, that cover 2 defense doesn't bring 5 or 6 defenders very often. It's, you're going to see 4 guys rushing the passer. So our ability as, you know, 5 offensive linemen, you know, you count a back or a tight end in some cases to block their 4, we did better. But for another team that's going to bring blitzes or bring additional guys, this Lovie Smith defense, that Chicago Bears style of cover, you know, that Tampa 2, doesn't bring additional defenders very often. So we handled the 4 very well and allowed Josh McCown to be very efficient. But when teams start adding blitzers or adding rushers is when, you know, that number can be skewed slightly.
And they blitzed on 7 of his 27 dropbacks, okay. So only about a quarter of the time.
Right.
And their teams in the NFL have blitzed north of 50% of
Correct.
The time. Here's why it's so important for this offensive line. And I agree with Steve. That still remains my concern. This is a high-priced, highly drafted, highly touted group. Pro Football Focus just called them the 3rd-best offensive line in the entire National Football League. And I want to see it. When Josh McCown didn't have pressure against Tampa, he was 15 of 17 for 110 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a quarterback rating of 133.
We'll take that.
On the 10 dropbacks with pressure, he was 2 of 6 for 7 yards with 1 sack and a quarterback rating of 42.4.
We'll take that.
Protect Josh McCown, and Josh McCown can play pretty well. He's proven that throughout his NFL career. Even last year in Tampa, he was good when protected. He was just under duress about 45% of the time, one of the highest figures of any starting quarterback in the National Football League. Let's get one more caller here before we take a break. We've got with us John in Oakwood. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got
and, hey, Zagor, you look good in that suit down there on the sidelines.
Thanks, brother. Man, I do what I can.
Hey, that little Browns pin, that's a nice touch. I love it.
Thank you. I was just happy I didn't get rained on. I was concerned.
I understand. Hey, you know, I just want to start off. Let's bring it back to the defense. I'm impressed with Shelton. I mean, I
yep.
have not seen – and Wilhelm, maybe you can answer this since you've been out there in the trenches, but can 350 pounds really move like that? I swear he was on his toes, flipping around, jumping, real bouncy. He looks great. I love that.
He also, definitely does. Go ahead.
Yeah, also, I want, you know, I'm happy with Desmond Bryant. He's looking good, and, you know, I'm happy for him. But Phil Taylor, they say he wasn't going to be out there, but the play that I saw him out there on when we stopped that first down conversion – He didn't drop down on his knees. He was pushing, and he pushed that pocket back. And if he keeps that strength back in his legs, I just want to see Shelton and Phil Taylor in at the same time. That's what I really want to see, you know.
Where's the beef?
That is a lot of beef.
Right. And just two more things, if you don't mind. First of all, I'm happy to see that Pro Bowl safety out there together. It's Pro Bowl secondary.
Yep.
They look fabulous. But since Mingo's back, can he actually wrestle that position back from Solomon? Because Solomon's looking good, too. And two segments ago, Wilhelm, you were saying that, we may not be seeing everything that they're showing in practice. And that got me curious about Terrell Pryor, because I'm just wondering, I don't know exactly when he got to camp or when we got him, but what if he did take Joe Hayden out there and just absolutely schooled him to the point where everybody's impressed, and they're like, even Hayden's like, hey, you got to take this guy. And, we don't know that, but I'm thinking it's possible that something like that, he really took care of one of those people in the secondary back there.
Okay, great. Thank you for the call. And, 350 pounds, and it's not 350 anymore. It's probably more like 335 for Danny Shelton right now. So he's taken off the 15-pound weight vest. And so, yes, he is moving faster. And I just think that, Danny is a testament to amazing genes, those Samoan genes, and their ability to handle that weight and move the way they do, and see a speckling of those guys throughout the National Football League. And he does an amazing job, and I think he's just excited to be a Brown. He's excited to be drafted by the Cleveland Browns and to be the focal point on shoring up that run game, and that internal defense is all kind of hanging on his shoulders, and he hasn't strayed away from it. He's kind of risen up and achieved, and he's got us as Browns fans very excited. And so
he's got the players excited.
Yes.
He's bringing an infectious level of energy and enthusiasm to what he's doing.
He does, because this job and day in, day out practicing and being in meetings can get monotonous. Believe me, it can. And when you have a personality like Charles Gaines, like Danny Shelton, where they're talking, they're communicating, their swagger is high, on a day where you're down, they bring you up. And especially when a guy's playing at a high level, every single play and telling you about it, it makes you feel confident that you have him on your team and you're not playing against him.
Yeah, and it gives these guys opportunities to be in situations where they can win. And we saw Desmond Bryant take advantage of some one-on-ones. Ali Marpet, remember the guard who rose from the small school Hobart? He took him to school many times in that game against the Bucks. All right, one last call. We'll take our break. Jim Donovan still coming our way at 2 o'clock. If you guys keep wanting to talk, we'll push the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, back. Mark in East Cleveland, welcome to the show. What's up, Mark?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Okay. Listen, first of all, I want to say, Nate, man, you're going to mess around and pull a hamstring out there. We're trying to catch that rabbit on that hunger train.
I was very cautious there. I want to make sure I navigated things very carefully down there. But as soon as he made that cut from the angle I was at, it was like the C's part, and I said, he's gone. So I just wanted to get down there and give him some love. Yeah.
Saw you on the sideline running that down there trying to catch a rabbit. But Nate, I mean, I'm going to say that Charles Gaines, man, I didn't hear, what's his status? Did he make it back to practice? Because it seems like, what's his status?
He's, from the reports, he's off on the side working out. Does not. It does not appear to be as serious a hamstring injury as some of the others that have been suffered by people, and the hope is that he can be ready for week one, but I'm sure Mike Pettine will update that after practice today. No official word on that. I just know he's not practicing today. He's off on the side. But what a nice game for that young man. You got to think about it. You're a sixth-round pick. You have not really worked with the starters at all, and the one time you get to work with them is week three of the preseason against the number one pick in the NFL draft, Jameis Winston, and you come and you ball out. Two pass breakups, one on Vincent Jackson where he played very well, and then the interception.
Yeah, it's great, and as I mentioned, he was constantly a bubble guy. As we dialed up these numbers with as deep as we were at corner, he was a guy that we immediately was not only a bubble guy to make the 53, but he immediately, in my mind, was a practice squad guy. And it just goes to show, as he said right here, as Coach Pettine talked about, and his conversations with Joe Hayden, asking questions, yearning for more information, which confidently allows him to go out on the practice field and put good practice film and good game film for these coaches to now bump him, as I asked you, he's making this 53 as of now.
Yes, he is. I think he's absolutely going to be on this 53. When we come back, more phone calls from you, 216-578-0850. We'll continue to dissect the Browns and, of course, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that 31-7 victory for the Browns down in Florida. 216-578-0850 is Girl Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And don't forget, Jim Donovan, 2 o'clock, he'll be with us, the voice of the Cleveland Browns.